Bless you. Thank you, sir. Am I on? Can you hear me? Okay, great. How's everybody doing this morning? Thank you so much, Pastor Bill. I really appreciate that opportunity to be here with you guys. Who's excited to be in church this morning? Praise the Lord. I just want to honor. Who's thankful for your pastors? Come on, somebody. I just want to honor Bill DeCana because, I was mentored here for years. And one of the things about Pastor Bill is, he is an example of steadfast faith. He really embodies the faith of Abraham, where he just continued to believe. And really, if you get around the man, he is a faithful rock. Come on, somebody. He is faithful to what God said, and he stays with it, and I thank God for him. And that was a big blessing to me because I was from a very unstable background. Come on, somebody. I mean, my family was not stable, so it was incredible to watch him over the years, to see somebody stable. Okay, so when things go wrong, you don't have to flip out. Come on. Come on. Yeah, that's right. Come on. So it was just a blessing to be here with Pastor Bill. And Rebecca is incredible. Come on, give her a hand, too. Come on. She's my mother-in-law, but, the funny thing was I was the one with the issues. People always say, y'all my mother-in-law and stuff. And I was like, I was the one messed up. She was perfect. She's awesome. She's always been awesome. She's super kind and awesome. So thank God for grace, and I just thank God for Rebecca. It has been a grace in my life. Again, my wife's here. We've been married 8 years, so I'm very blessed. And I'm just excited to be able to speak with you this morning. I was praying and kind of sifting my heart to see what I could do to encourage you and just build you up in faith. And I just thank God we have a victorious God. Yes. I'm thankful that our faith is an overcoming faith. Come on, somebody. I am thankful that God has called us to be victors, not victims. I grew up a lot of my life with a victim mentality. That's what I grew up with. That's all I knew, kind of a pity party. Come on, somebody. I was always having a pity party, inviting anybody and everybody to my pity party. Who's ever been there? And what God has taught me is that he is a victorious God. And that our faith, it doesn't matter what situation you have been delivered from. It doesn't matter what background you have. God can make you a courageous person. Come on, somebody. God can make you a victor. He can change your mentality and give you a faith that's courageous. And I thank God for that because I really wasn't. I didn't understand courage. My life was full of fear and anxiety. And I thank God that he is a victorious God. Let me pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today, Lord, just to exalt your word. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you this morning that, God, people would hear and see and know the glory and the wonder and the splendor of Jesus. And that's really what it's all about right now, Lord. We exalt the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for what he's done in our lives. We thank you what he's going to do in some people's lives today. We thank you, Lord, that through his love we can be overcomers. And we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about letting God love you. Letting God love you. And the truth is, you are loved. You are accepted. You are cared for. You are wanted. You are loved. And I believe that on the inside of every one of us is this need to be loved. We all have a need to be loved. And I know some people kind of get hardened by the world and they kind of act, and a lot of guys can be like this. Oh, I don't need that. I don't need none of that. I'm not soft like that, but we can put up a front. Come on, somebody. We can put up a mask, but really the truth is all of us have an emotional need on the inside of us to be loved. We want to be understood. We want to be accepted. We want to be known. That's not necessarily wrong. Now sin and pride perverts it where we want to, it's a selfish ambition thing and we want everybody to know who we are, but there's also something about what God created on the inside of us. We want to be known. We want to know other people and we want to be known. That's what's so hard today. It's such a culture of isolation where we're so isolated. But we want to be known. We want to be valued. We want to know that we matter. We want to have significance. We want to have purpose. We want to, these things are part of our DNA. I believe it's a basic human need Just as real as our need for food or water or air or any need that we have this need to be accepted. This need to be seen as valuable. We want somebody, isn't it like this? We want somebody to stand in front of us and say, you're worth something. Think about all the people right now striving and doing and trying and working and doing all of these things. And that's really what they're after. Think about the woman in running after these men, and they're trying and they're doing all these things, and you think, that's just nuts. Why would you throw yourself like that? Because what are they trying to do? Have somebody stand in front of them and say, you matter. You're something. You're worth something. And then that's the women. And think about a guy in the business place. You know, he might seem really hard, but he's working all day and all night, and he works 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 because he wants somebody or something to stand in front of him and say, you matter. That you're worth something. We all have this need to be loved. And I think it's like that old country song says, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in so many faces. Come on, somebody. We're making Opie. Come on, you all know our song. Looking for love in all the wrong places. I love that song. It's so true. Even the part about the faces, we're looking for love in faces. Looking for people to smile at us. Why do we want people to smile at us? Have you ever thought about that? What does it really matter if somebody gives us that dirty look? If somebody gives us the stink eye in traffic, why does that bother us so bad? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, the guy cut you off, okay, and the guy turns around and his face is not pleasant. Why does that elicit something? It got quiet in here. But why, though? I mean, what is that face doing? Is the face going to come out and beat me up or something? I mean, is his face going to, like, take my money and, beat me up and throw me in prison? No, it's not going to do anything to me. But something about, we want that smile. Again, we want somebody to stand in front of us and say, you're worth something. You're valuable. And it's funny because even people who had a good background, like a good childhood, nothing, you know, it's still there. So many times, it's like there's something else we're looking for that the world can't satisfy. We're running, we're racing, we're striving. We run to money, we can run to success, we can run to drugs, we can run to alcohol, food, people, even social media. Come on, somebody. And the Facebook's got it on now. I mean, you get likes and they blow up in your face. Have you noticed the changes? They did an update on it. I got, like, you get, like, 2 likes and there's, like, the thing's exploding with likes and hearts and you're like, woo! You feel like a celebrity, man. And somebody follows your Instagram, it's like, oh, baby, I got 3 followers, man. You feel like Brad Pitt. You know, you're like, man, it's... Yeah, man, it's crazy, man. I just got so many people checking my stuff out. Yeah, it's social media can give you that feeling. Isn't it so funny? Yeah. We can run to social media, but again, it's getting that need met. We want to be seen. We want to be seen as valuable. We can run to religion. And that's really sad because then we're striving for something that God's already given to us. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says it like this. This is the great hope that we have in God. Aren't you glad for the great hope that we have in Jesus? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 said it like this. God demonstrates and he clearly proves his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He clearly proves it. It's right there in Jesus. The love of God. You know, I came to know this love for myself as I watched my father pass away, and Pastor Bill touched on this. I was a club DJ when I first started out. You know, Jesus saved me as a club DJ, which was wild. I was, and I lived the lifestyle you would imagine a club DJ lives. I mean, I was partying and doing the drugs and the alcohol and running and partying and doing all that, and Jesus saved me in the middle of all of that. I mean, he was incredibly gracious to me, and I actually worked right here in Gainesville in the downtown area. All the clubs are different now. The names are different. But I was a student at UF, and I had a great gig going. You know, I was making good money. But my dad got sick, and 6 months before he died, something happened to my dad. My dad became a Christian, and he had this genuine conversion. He had this change of heart. It was a real thing. And my mom was telling me about it, and all this God stuff was happening to my dad, and it was like really something was going on. And I was curious about it. I was always a little wigged out about born-again Christianity. I don't know, if you've ever been there, but I was a little wary of it. But I was okay. I mean, it sounded like my dad was a sailor, a Navy guy. He was very foul-mouthed, roughneck kind of guy. So it was a very, very, it was very impactful for me to know that my dad was experiencing God stuff. He was kind of the scoffer. The Bible talks about a scoffer just doesn't take anything serious, kind of thinks everything's dumb. Very sarcastic, very funny, but very sarcastic. And the fact that he would take that serious, and people that are coming to pray for his healing and stuff, I just thought that was really neat. And then I had this one God experience myself with this guy in the bus, and this guy witnessed to me, and that just shows you the power of witnessing. And sometimes we feel like, I didn't even say something that great, and we just try our... Have you ever tried to witness, and you feel like it just didn't go that good? Well, who knows what this guy thought? He just said a few things to me and prayed for my dad. But I'm telling you, it impacted me like you could never imagine. I mean, it was the most impactful thing that's ever happened to me. It was incredible. And I took that message back. It was the first message I ever preached. I took the story of that boy, and I told my dad about it, and I was sharing about it with my dad. He was about to pass away. And so I watched this all go down, and I started praying with my dad, and I was starting to experience faith and accept it. And then what happened was that he passed away. But when I came into the room, I was the first one to find him. He was sitting on my couch, or laying on our couch, and he had this smile. And my dad had two forms of cancer, so he was basically a skeleton. And he had this smile stretched across his face. And something about his smile, I saw the goodness of Jesus in his smile. I knew what he saw. I knew what he was seeing. I saw a man who got to see what he was waiting for. Come on, somebody. I saw God. And I had a revelation of Jesus. I just knew Jesus. I'm a club DJ, and I'm still running, and I still have this Hooters girlfriend, and I still have all this crazy stuff going on in my life. But all of a sudden, I have this revelation of who Jesus is. And I love him. And I get to believe he really is who he says he is. And he really is who we all kind of hope he is. He really is the Savior. He really is good. He really is love. He really is the one. And I go back to Gainesville, and then there's this whole story of how I kind of try to learn faith. I'm still trying to club DJ, and I'm telling people about Jesus at parties. It was a weird scene for a couple of years, I didn't know Christianity, so it didn't dawn on me, you don't preach Jesus partying with people, It's kind of a weird thing, Hey, man, Jesus, man. People talking about Gandhi all the time. It's like, so God is very gracious and patient with us. Okay, amen. So God led me on a journey, and I really did go from knowing about God to knowing God. And I had a revelation of Jesus for myself. And that's what I would really want for you this morning if you're here today and you really, I've never really had that. That's what I'm going to pray for you at the end of the service. I really would love for you to know Jesus, the goodness and the splendor and the glory of Jesus. That's the only way you can really follow him. You can't really follow Jesus. There's just too much hard stuff he asks you to do. Come on, somebody. I mean, it's just like there's too much to do. Too much to give up. He asks too much unless you see how good he is and how much he's worth it. That he really is who he says he is. So I want to give you a few practical steps about meeting this need, because really that need we talked about, it's ultimately and uniquely met in God and the perfect love of God. That's why even if you get love from other places and even places that are good like your family and other things that God does use, there's something about the perfect love of Jesus that satisfies that need. And I'll give you a few practical steps. Number one is what we just talked about, receive. Really, the Christian life is this. Number one, receive. And number two, keep receiving. Come on, somebody. Number one is just receive. And then what do? We just keep receiving. We just keep receiving. We keep receiving. We keep receiving. John chapter 1, verse 12 says it like this. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, or some translations say power. I love that. He gave them the right and the power. There's power in that privilege of being a son and a daughter. There's power to become children of God, to believe in his name. So number one, we receive. We see him for who he is. We receive. We accept him for who he says he is, that he's the Savior. And number two, we keep receiving. As Christians, we need to continually have an ever-increasing revelation of the love of God. And do you guys realize, I mean, there's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. There's a big difference between information and revelation. You can know about God without truly knowing God. And what's the difference? The difference is saying, God, you know, I don't want to lean on my own thoughts. I don't want to just know about you. I don't want to just have some kind of form of religion. I really want to know you. I want to receive you. And sometimes it's just accepting what he says about you. That God, I believe that you want to love me. I want you in my life. A personal revelation of the love of God. We need to learn to let God love us. Letting God love us. Accepting that he loves us. Receiving it for yourself. It's funny, a lot of people can love other people, but when it actually comes to receiving love for themselves, it's very hard. And we almost hold our own judgment. When we do that, we're holding our own judgment above God's judgment. And we're saying, I really know who I really am, and God, you really can't love me. I'm holding my own opinion about myself above God's opinion. Because God said, I saw everything you did, and I still choose to love you. I love the real you. Come on, somebody. That is the most freeing thing that you could ever hear. I love the real you. I love you. The real you. John chapter 13, verse 5, and this is kind of a story of Peter. And Peter's a perfect example of this. Because guess what Peter did in Matthew? It talks about Jesus says, you know, who do they say that I am and who do you think that I am? And we're talking about Jesus, right? And what does Peter do? Do you remember? Nobody knows. Nobody reads the Bible. Okay. No. That's it. He said, Jesus, I know who you are. Man, that was a good day for Peter. Come on, somebody. He did good. And he looked cool in front of all, you know, the other disciples and stuff. And he jumped up. He said, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. And that's what we just talked about. Peter received Jesus. I know who you are, Lord. You're who you say you are. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. Peter said all that. He believed in Jesus, and then watch what happens. John chapter 13, verse 5. After that, Jesus was pouring water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter. So Simon the believer, Simon who declared and was bold to say, no, Jesus, I know who you are. You're the Messiah. Peter says, and watch the attitude, what Peter says. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Come on, somebody. He's washing everybody else's feet. What do you think? And then he's reaching towards your feet. Are you going to wash my feet? Why is he asked that question? The question is kind of, it's more not the question of like trying to gather information. It's more of an attitude. Like, Jesus, you know who I am. You know we're down, right? Like, you don't have to do this for me. Like, why are you going to wash my feet too? You know I have it. You know I'm following you. Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing. See, I love how Jesus is gentle with him. He responds to him with love. He says, you don't realize what I'm doing, Peter, but later you'll understand. Verse 8. Come on, somebody. Who can be stubborn in here? Well, you're not alone. Peter was pretty stubborn. No. Can you imagine doing that to Jesus? Jesus is so loving. He explains himself. Don't worry, Peter. Don't worry. You'll understand later. No. I mean, come on, man. God is patient with us. Yeah. There's been a lot of times where God was like, all right, AJ, yes, I understand. But let me, I'm like, no, no, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Leave me alone. I'm going to do my own thing. You know, come on, somebody. You ever been in that season? No, leave me alone. Come on. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Never. He's like declaring like sovereignly, like never to God, the Son of God. You shall never wash my feet. But here's the attitude behind that. You're not going to wash my feet. That's too dirty. You're not going to touch that area of my life. You can see my good parts, but you're not going to see the parts I don't think are that good. I'm not going to let you see certain areas of my heart or my life, and I'm not going to let you get dirty like that. Because I'm not worth that. You can't touch my feet. And Jesus answers this, unless I wash you, you have no part in me and part with me. I don't think Jesus is being harsh there. I think if you could hear his tone, it wouldn't be harsh. It would be this. If you don't allow me to wash your feet, you'll never understand me. You will never have part in me. You'll never have intimacy with me. There'll never really be a relationship unless I can have all of you. Right. You have to let me in. You have to let me love you. That's part of the journey. It's part of, yes, I see the mistakes. Yes, I see the failures. Yes, I see the things you're getting straightened out, but you got to let me love you. I want to love you. I want intimacy with you. And so that leaves me with my last step for you this morning. It's number one, receive. Number two, keep receiving. And number three is take off the mask. Take off the mask. That's how we keep receiving. Eventually, you're going to get to this as you walk with God. 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face. Everyone say unveiled.
Unveiled.
Say it again.
Unveiled.
Unveiled. I let down the mask. I let down my ideal self. What I really want everybody to see, I let it down with you. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. See, what happens when you get to drop the mask? You get to stare at Jesus like it's a mirror. And you get to reflect all of that goodness and that glory. See, God can't bless an ideal version of you. Come on, somebody. God can't bless some created, fabricated person. God can't bless the religious you. God can only bless the real you. Come on, somebody. God can only pour his love into the real you. That's why he's doing this. Because why do we wear a mask? We don't wear a mask because we just decided one day to wear a mask. We wear a mask to survive. We wear a mask to survive. But Jesus is saying, you can take down the mask with me. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We take down the mask and we let God love us. God can only have a relationship with the real us. I'll say it again. God can only have a relationship with the real us. He can't have a relationship with the religious you or the what you wish you were. Come on. Who has an ideal version of themselves in their head? And it's almost like an idol. It becomes an idol for us because it's like, man, I just see myself of where I could be and what I should do. But God can't love that version. God can only love the real you. And sometimes we're saying to God, the real me is not worthy of your love. I have too much shame. I have too much pain. I have too much stuff. But God wants to have a relationship with the real us. We have to be real with God. Intimacy requires being authentic. Why do we wear masks? I think we do it to survive. The world's hard. Who's ever found that out? The world can be painful. The world can be rough. What do we do? Well, we can't just fall apart. Just fall apart on everybody that talks to us. How are you doing? Oh, terrible. You know, could you imagine that? That'd be bad. I mean, thank God for masks sometimes. Come on. Come on. How you doing, brother? You doing good? Ah! It's like, oh, man. I didn't know that was going to come out. Come on. We wear masks to survive. We smile. We have all this stuff going on, and so we just kind of, what do? You just smile. You smile, you suck it up, and you just keep going. But here's the thing. That's an orphan mentality. That's a survival mentality. That means I don't have anybody else. I got to do it myself. I don't have anybody. I got to just survive. But God's saying to us, I don't want you to survive. I want you to thrive. Amen. I'll say it again. I don't want you just to survive. I want you to thrive. How do we thrive? By allowing God to love us. The real us. To all of us. Every part of us. The parts that we think are good. The parts that we don't think that are that good. We just let him love us. We accept his acceptance of us. I accept it, Lord. In doing this, we let him bind up our broken hearts. And we'll kind of finish here. With this thought, I mean, it takes time. The things that I'm talking about today, it does take time. It doesn't happen overnight. But that's why we got to keep receiving. We continue to follow after God. He takes us through different seasons. It requires a devotional life. It takes faith. It takes obedience. You know, receiving the love of God is like marinating a steak. You don't just take a steak and dip it in the marinade and think, oh, it's good, right? You can't just dip it once. It's not going to be that good. You got to let that thing soak continually. And that's how our souls are with the love of God. I mean, we have one experience with God, and we're like, man, that's awesome. And sometimes we almost assume, I just know everything about God. But no, man, it goes on and on. I mean, God's love can go deeper and deeper and deeper, and he can find these areas. Come on, who can relate to that? Sometimes God can show you these pockets of fear and insecurity, and you didn't even know you had. See, that's the thing about insecurity. Nobody knows they have it at first. Shame, nobody knows they have it. People who are jacked up tend to not know they're jacked up. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You don't see it. People who wear masks don't realize they're wearing a mask. That's why it takes this continual walk with God. That God, I'm letting you in. And why can we let God in like this? Because he loves us. Why can we trust him? Because he cares. He doesn't try to rip off our mask. He's saying, you can give it to me. Because he cares about us. Because he loves us. Keep receiving. I've seen it in my own life. Time and time again, God's had to prove to me that he loves the real me. Maybe you can relate to this. Just continually. I mean, sometimes he's had to take me on some serious divine detours. Who's ever been on a divine detour? Or a delay, or a disappointment, or something that doesn't go right, or something that doesn't work out. And God's really working on you. He really has a great plan for your life. Come on. If it's every day, I mean, that's cool. Because that means that God's getting down deep. All right. But God will take us in these things, and it really, the whole journey is all about God proving to us that he loves me for me. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to prove it to him. I don't have to prove it to this person. I don't have to prove it to that person. And it's so funny because then I think I know it, and then a season later, I find myself striving. But it's because he put me in another interesting season and an interesting circumstance and an interesting, come on, who's ever felt the hands of God just moving? You're like, would you leave me alone? I'm good. But he's working on us. And he's showing us that I'm all you really need and that I'm all sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. He loves the real AJ. And I can accept his acceptance of me. And I want to pray for you this morning as we finish. I want to pray for you to receive the love of God for yourself, to really know God for yourself, to really have a revelation of Jesus. Because here's what it's all about. What does receiving the love of God really do? Allows us to love other people. Why can't we love people? Why can't we be selfless like the Bible says to? It's because, what about me? Somebody offends me and I'm just going to let it go? What about me? Somebody gets something, love is not jealous. Well, somebody gets something, well, what about me getting that? See, when we receive the love that God has for us, it frees us up and allows us to love people. We can love other people because he loves us. So I'm going to pray for you this morning. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you're saying, you know, AJ, I just, I hear what you're saying and I just never have had that. I didn't have, you know, the experience you had. But I really do want to receive more of God's love. And maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you're just at a place and I really want a greater revelation. You'd say, I want to know Jesus more. I want to sense his love. I want to feel his presence. I want to sense his presence. If that's you, I want you to just raise your hand real quick. Just to know Jesus more and to receive his love more. Thank you. Put your hands down. And my next question is this. If you have never received Jesus and you know that you're here today and you've never really surrendered your life and he's not the Lord of your life and he's not who you're following and you've never really tasted his goodness and you want to receive Jesus, I ask you to lift your hand right now. Thank you. I want to pray for you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Just repeat it after me. Father God, thank you for your son. Thank you for Jesus. I receive his love for me. I receive him as my Lord and my Savior. I want a greater revelation of your love. Make it real to me. I want to know you. I surrender my life to you. I give you all my praise. I give you all my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Put your hands together. I believe people got born again.